Stand this morning for the reading of the scripture. Hallelujah. The scripture comes from Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 to 35. And it says, when they arrived at the country of Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee, and he had went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice he said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of that man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and he was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then the devils out of this man and went into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also, which saw it, told them by what means he was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes gathered around and besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The Bible said there was a certain man from a city who had demons for a long time. This is one of the most detailed information about a man with demons that we have in the Bible. Amen. The Bible says that this man had been possessed for a long time. He was a classic person of demon possession. The scripture says that there he met a certain man. Now, the certain man was that Jesus had came ashore. The man came to Jesus. Amen. Jesus did not seek this man out directly, but the man was drawn to Jesus. Even though he was demon-possessed, there was something about Jesus that drew the man to him. Amen? There might be times in your life, as a child of God, you're going to wonder why somebody is drawn to you, especially somebody who has some demons in them. But let me tell you, as a child of God, demons are drawn to Jesus. Amen? Don't you think for a minute that a demon wants to be a demon. Amen? Demons are drawn to Jesus. The Bible said this man had no clothes and lived like a wild animal, more than a human being. The Bible further states that he did not live in a house, but he was driven by the demon into the wilderness. It wasn't just that he did not have a house, but he was living among the dead. He was living in the tombs. He was living among the decaying and the dying. Amen? Not only that, the Bible said that this man was strong, that he had supernatural strength, that every time they tied him up in chains and bonds, that he was able to break them. Amen? The man was tormented. He was self-destructive. Mark 5 and 5 says that he would be crying out and screaming and cutting himself with stones. Amen? The man had uncontrollable behavior. I can say that I'm not sure whether he started out this way or not. But the Bible tells us that at one time, this man lived among the people in the village. But his own irrational behavior, his wild behavior, convinced the people around him that he was demon-possessed. There are times that somebody can have some irrational behaviors. Somebody can do some things, and they're going to get labeled. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're demon-possessed. But this man for sure was demon possessed. He was demon possessed, and they bound him with chains to keep him from hurting himself. And then finally, after he keeps breaking the chains, they drive him out of town. Amen? One scripture will say that the demons drove him out of town. Another version you'll read will say that the villagers drove him out of town. Amen? But underneath all of it was the demons in the man that caused people to drive him out of town. Amen? This man was lost. I don't know if you ever got kicked out of somewhere and you had no place to go. But if you ever get kicked out of somewhere and you have no place to go, you feel a little lost on the inside. Amen? And you feel a little lost on the outside. The villagers saw that this man on the outside, they could see all of the scars. Amen? They could see the scars in this man because they kicked him out. He broke chains. He cut himself with stones. But what they couldn't see all of the tragedy that's going on the inside. Amen? Don't judge somebody always by the outside. There's things going on the inside. Come on, somebody. We're so quick to judge people from the outside and not trying to find out what's going on the inside. And I say that this man has something going on the inside because he came to meet Jesus. Amen. Regardless of what was demons, he Jesus. Hallelujah. The man, he could not deliver himself, but Jesus has the power and the authority over all unclean spirits. It wasn't the man, but it was the demons who said, "What have I to do with you? I beg you not to torment me." Sometimes when you're talking to somebody that's possessed, you need to understand who you're talking to. Amen? Because the man, Jesus, and the demon started talking and said, I don't have anything to do with you. What do you want with me, Jesus?" But he knew what Jesus was there for. And he says, I beg you not to torment me. Amen? The demon did not want to leave the body that he inhabited. Listen to what he says. "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." I'm going to say that again. "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." The demon said that when Jesus commanded it to come out of the man. Amen? "Jesus, Son of the Most High God." This was one way they tried to resist the work of Jesus. The demons wanted Jesus to know, "We know who you are." Amen? When you look at the history and the background of superstition and spiritual powers, when somebody addressed you to an idol, when they addressed you with your full title, like they addressed Jesus, amen? That was to say that I know the power that you have, and you're not really intimidating me. But it was a bluff. It's a bluff. Because the demon, Jesus, and they know the power that he possesses. They know the authority that Jesus had. And there are times that you've been in your life where you went to confront somebody with something and they threw away. Amen? But you can't be concerned with the bluff. The bluff didn't bluff Jesus. The bluff didn't make Jesus back down. It didn't make him stop doing what he came to do. Amen? They tried to resist the work of Jesus. Amen? But a demon cannot resist the work of Jesus. Can you give the Lord a hand right now? Because we here today know that all we have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Can you imagine when Jesus walked to the demons? There was more power there than just calling on the name of Jesus. He was there in the person. Hallelujah. There's sometimes you want to handle a situation and you try to do it on the phone and it just don't work out. And you got to go in person. And when they see you, and when they hear you, and when you talk to them, things are a little different. Amen? So when Jesus came to see the demons, things were a little different. He didn't care about how many legions of demons he had. Jesus always knows what he's doing. Because he just came from the other side. Hallelujah. Preaching to thousands. He just came from the other side where the ship was being beaten and battered by waves. And he said, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. But Jesus knew what he was doing because he had an assignment on the other side. It might be one person, but that assignment he had to fulfill. And when Jesus has an assignment, I don't care how many legions of demons are there. Jesus is going to do what he came to do. Amen? Hallelujah. The scripture says he called him Son of the Most High God. Amen. So let me just stop here for a minute, because I want you to know something. The devil and those demons had their theological references correct. They got it more correct than we do, because they know the power and the authority of Jesus. Come on, somebody. And we doubt it. But they know that Jesus has the power and the authority. The devil knows the Bible just as much as we do. He can quote scripture. He knows what Jesus has done. We need to get grounded and rooted in the word of God, so when the demons come to us, that we can rebuke them with the name of Jesus. But not just with the name, but you got to do it with power, and you got to do it with authority. Because when the demon comes, he's going to try to blow. He's going to try to scare you. He's going to try to make you back down. The demons had more faith in Jesus because they knew what he could do. Those particular demons, they had not seen it yet, but they knew of the name of Jesus. They heard of the things that he could do. They knew the identity of Jesus. They knew what he could do. Amen. They had knowledge of Jesus. They knew what he could do. They had faith that Jesus could do what they heard that he could do. So their faith. Demons have faith. They have faith. They had faith that Jesus was going to do what he said he was going to do, what he was called to do. And therefore, they didn't say, well, come on, let me see you do it. They said, please do not torment us. It was a foregone conclusion. Please do not torment us. I want to know today, when you walk into the room and there's all kind of crazy activity going on, and you know it's nothing but the devil and his forces doing things, do you walk in there and they say, are we going to stop now? Or they just keep going on like you are not there? But when you walk in the power and the authority, it all has to stop. It all has to stop. You command the presence in the room. When you have the Holy Spirit, you command the presence in the room. You command the presence in the room. You walk in there in the power and the authority that Christ has given you. You don't walk in there weak. Amen? Then Jesus says to him, what is your name? Now, we know that Jesus knows everything. Amen? We know that Jesus knows everybody. He knows everybody's name. So why did he ask the man, what is your name? That's for me. And that's for you. Because the name meant something. The name meant that there was thousands and thousands of demons in there. A legion in the Roman Empire was about 6,000 people. So we're not going to say he had 6,000 demons, but he had legions. So it was more than one legion. Amen? One of the problems that happened with this man is that he didn't know what to say. So who do you think was speaking when he asked him his name? It was the demons. Because the demons wanted to try to intimidate Jesus. Amen? So, when he said Legion, you know, your name really meant something. So I don't know if anybody, you know, you ever been overseas. I know I was overseas in the service. And no matter what your name is, it's not important. It's always, hey, Joe. Hey, Joe, you want to buy this? Hey, Joe, you want to buy that? Your name wasn't important. But what your name that they gave you represented something. So when they call each and every one of us Joe, what did it represent? It represented from the military. It represented somebody from America. It represented somebody who possibly had some money. So when the demon was Legion, it just represented the multitude of demons that were in this man. But your name does mean something. Because when the demons called Jesus Son of Most High God, they understood the fullness of his name. Amen? So when Legion said Legion, that was also part of his trouble. Think about it when somebody calls you out of your name. Come on. Think about it. This man, he didn't even know what his name was. His name was a Legion. He don't even know who he is. Only thing that he knew that there were so many of him. There were so many of him. Do you hear what I'm saying? There were so many of him because now he identified with the demon. He said, there's so many of me that he doesn't even know the real me. You got to get that part of it because you're going to deal with some people who have so many of them that they don't even know the real them. And you think that you're talking to this, but you're talking to them. Amen? He didn't even know who he was. He didn't know the real him. He said, they snatched me. The demons don't come to you politely. They snatch you. They grab you. They take hold of you. They snatched him. And his whole identity is lost among the demons. His whole identity, everything that he was before, is lost among the demons. Then he says, as Legion, there's a lot of us, and that we're organized. We unified and we ready to fight and we mighty. There's a lot. Amen. When you're locked on the inside like this man, the question that you always say to yourself, who am I? When you're lost on the outside, you say to yourself, where am I? This man was lost inside and out. He didn't know who he was, and he didn't know where he was. Not only was the man lost, but he was a sick man. He was sick until death. When you're sick until death, you're drifting and swinging between life and death. Have you ever been so sick that you don't know if you're going to live or you're going to die? Oh, hallelujah. But he was sick unto death because he was too alive to be dead. And he was too dead to be alive. I don't know if you ever experienced that or felt that way. But I know when I get sick, I'm sick unto death because I don't get sick. So when I get a little sick, I'm sick to death. This man, he lost his identity. He lost his purpose. See, some of us are sick because we lose our identity. We lose our purpose. When you lose your hope, when you lose your integrity, when you lose your identity, your dignity, you are sick unto death. You walk around complaining. You're walking around, don't know what it is that you're supposed to do. You don't have a clue as to what is going on in your life. This man was a sick. And when you're kind of sick, you cannot go to CVS or Walmart for a cure. You can go to the doctor, but it's not going to cure you. That's the kind of sickness that this man had. This man needed healing. And he needed a healing that would facilitate a radical change. He don't need a healing that's going to make him feel better for a little while. Hello, alcohol. He don't need a healing that's going to heal him for overnight. Come on, drugs. He needed a radical healing. He needed a total makeover. His body needed a week. His mind needed to become called back to a remembrance of what he was. Amen. When you have a radical change indicates the end of something. When you have a radical change, it indicates the fulfillment of something. When you have a radical change, it means it's the beginning of something. I don't know if you heard about this popular pastor named Steve Furtick. Thousands of members in his church, they rebuked him. He's being rebuked now because he said that when you come to Jesus, the only thing that happens is that he exposes who you are. I think they said somewhere along the line, there was like about 18,000 likes. I don't know what Bible he's reading, but the Bible tells me that when you come to Christ, that you have an encounter, and this encounter changes your whole personality. That this encounter makes all things new. That you're that who you once were, you are no longer that. And if you don't have that change, you did not have the encounter. So if you're still the same old you, you didn't experience the encounter. You didn't have a life-changing encounter like this man with the demons was going to have. Amen? Because it doesn't make a difference what demon you got. When Jesus comes into your life, all things are going to be new. All demons have to leave. That the you that they knew before is not the you that you are now. Church, I think that this season that we're in, we need to start seeing some radical changes in some people. Come on, somebody. We need to see some radical changes in the life of our saints and our children and our family and our marriages. We need to be calling on the name of Jesus. Because not only was this man insane, but he lived in an insane world. Amen? He lived in an insane world. Let me read this scripture to you. And they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. And now a herd of many swines was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would not permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. I need to stop right there. In order for the demons to go into the swines, Jesus had to permit it. He had to permit it. There is nothing that goes in your life without his permissible will. Come on. That's a very important point. Whatever goes on in your life, it doesn't happen without Jesus' permissible will. If he is the author and the finisher of your faith, and he is writing your story, there is nothing that happens without his permissible will. He don't write something and take the eraser and erase it because somebody changed something. He allows it to happen. So this man, amen, the demons wanted to enter the swines, and he said, go ahead. They went down to the lake, and they drowned. Why did Jesus allow this to happen? Because it wasn't time yet for Jesus to show his full authority over all demons. Amen? So he just let them go into the swine. But he showed his authority over all demons when he died on the cross. And he rose again on the third day. He put an end to all of that mess. There's no more questions when he died. It was the end of the end. That's why he said, Father, it is finished. Now, I don't know if you recognized that when I was reading the scripture, that there was a certain word that every time I got to it, I put an emphasis on it. It was the word they. It was the word they. Before I start, I'm going to tell you what we say. They made me do it. They took my car. They took my money. They told me I couldn't leave. They said they had it all together. Who are the they's in your life? I want you to answer that question to yourself. Who are the they's in your life that have so much power over your decision making, over your choices, over what you choose to do? Who are the they's in your life? This man was lost. This man was sick. This man had demons. So let me tell you about the days in his life. The scripture says, when those who fed them saw what happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. There's just a little part of that I want to expound on. Is that all right? It said, they went out to see what was done. Is that what the days in your life do? They come to see what was done. You're going through something and they come to see you, to see what was done. They didn't come to help you. They didn't come to pray for you. They didn't come to offer you no assistance. They don't care about you. They just came to see what was done. They
They didn't go out to learn about Jesus. They just came to see. They didn't go out to appreciate that Jesus had chucked them demons out of this man. They just came to see. They didn't go out and participate. And they didn't go out and get involved with Jesus. But they just came to see. Sometimes you come to church, you spilling your guts to somebody, but they just came to church just to see. You better know those days in your life. They come to hear John Q play. They just came to hear. They didn't come to worship. They just want to come see who's at church. What you got on? That your hat and your shoes don't match. Your wig is crooked. Your husband done left you. How they look today? They just came to see. You just got fired from your job. They want to see what you look like. How you feeling? One time my wife had gotten to a situation and she got on her phone and this one still got a phone. The Bible said that Jesus came to see. Some people become and they remain eternal spectators. Eternal spectators. They don't want to get involved. They just come to see. But I'm here to tell you the church is a living organ. It's a living organism. We need live bodies. We need participants. We don't need people who just need to come and see. Don't sing about the hands and the feet if you're not a part of the hand or the feet of the church. Some people just stand on the sidelines. Stand in the pews. Just wait to see. What you come to see? I want you to know today that my God is able and willing to do all things exceedingly above all that I could ever think and that I could ever ask. What do you need to see? You need to be participating. You want a blessing. It's time to get involved. Hallelujah. Sometimes somebody want to hear Bishop preach and say, you know, he's not using proper English. Well, let me tell you, the message is more important than the Anglo-Saxon English of the king. Am I an external spectator? Or am I a participant? The Bible says they just came to see what was done. And then it says they were afraid and they were seized with great fear. They were afraid. They were more afraid of the free man than the possessed man. But the master, you see, when he said, go. The change didn't take a long time. It happened right away. It happened in a twinkling of an eye. When your change happened, the people that come to see, they're not going to see it. As a matter of fact, they probably won't even accept it. Hallelujah. The master said, go. And the whole herd of swine departed. You know, those people who always see something and run back and tell everybody, they saw it and they ran and they told everybody. And then the Bible says that everybody all around the city, all around the country, everybody came to see what was done, and they were afraid of the free man. You know, you want to put fear in somebody? Be free. Be free. Be free. You see, when the devil got you locked up, they're not scared of you. But when you're free, the Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. They were afraid. But let me tell you about the days. They were only there. They told Jesus to go because they were afraid that they had sins that Jesus would see. They were afraid that the next time he comes and he visits one of them, that maybe all their earthly possessions will be gone. But the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Evidently, they didn't want to hear that. We run around and we look at the things that, quote unquote, that we have. And we don't want to make that commitment to Christ because you feel you're going to lose something. But let me tell you something. You don't got nothing. You're living on borrowed time. You're using it for a while. Your body is temporary. Your soul, your spirit is eternal. Your body going around. Some are going to burn, want to be cremated, whatever you do. Hallelujah. Whatever you decide to do, it ain't going to be eternal for that body. So even right now, that God has blessed us with health, strength, and life. Hallelujah. It's temporary. It's not eternal. They were so afraid of what they were going to lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What happened to the man? Let me just say this before I continue. You see, our souls are priceless to him because he left thousands for the one. The Bible says he'll go after that one sheep. He proved it. He came all the way to that one. Just that. Do you know that you could be that one today? That he's speaking to today. That whatever your demons are, he could loose you. Loose. In the name of Jesus. Demons gone. They said, Jesus, leave. He said,
I've been kicked out of worse places. But he left. The man that used to be possessed, he was begging to go with Jesus. But listen to what Jesus says. Return to your home. At one time, the man had a home. He had a home. He had a home. Declare how much God has done for you. The Bible says, and he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. The man went from begging Jesus to leave him to begging to be with him. But Jesus says, no, I have an assignment for you. I want you to go home. You're going to be the disciple that I'm planting in this city, in this country, in this county right here. Tell everybody what I have done for you. When Jesus changes your life, you're supposed to be a disciple. You're supposed to let everybody know what he has done for you. Had not he been on your side. That's why I have no filter when I talk about where I've been, what I've done, what I've gone through, because people need to know that I ain't always been the person that I am right now. And if he did it for me, he'll do it for you. Before, the man was out of control. Now, after, he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Before, he didn't have any clothes. Now he's fully clothed. Before, he was out of his mind. But the Bible says they found him sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. Come on, somebody. Before, he had many demons. Now the man knew who he was. I know who I am. Woo! Walking in power. Hallelujah. Before, he lived among the dead. But Jesus said, go home and live amongst your family. Live alive right now. Oh, hallelujah. Free. Free. Jesus completely healed him. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning.